Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And just a friendly reminder, we are not experts. We're just two friends.
Who like to talk a lot about serums.
A lot about them. And other things.
And other things, but mostly serums.
A lot of times it's just good old-fashioned serums. Hi.
Hi.
Good evening to you. Greetings to all our friends out there listening. How are you feeling tonight, Dori?
I am feeling okay. How are you feeling sipping your enormous tea?
You know, the nice thing about podcasting is that it gives the illusion that you're just talking to one person when really other people are listening, which is why I want to tell you to podcasters what I told you earlier, which was I was nervous I was going to throw up because I thought I ate undercooked chicken.
Yeah.
Now I seem okay.
You do seem okay.
So I think it's all fine.
It all passed.
It worked its way through, but
hopefully not really.
Did you grow up with a mom who made you, who like overcooked your meat because she was afraid you were going to eat undercooked meat and get poisoned?
No, this is actually an interesting discussion. My mom is like the anti-germaphobe.
Like she would believe that me possibly eating undercooked chicken is going to make me stronger or healthier or better for me?
Just that she didn't really care. Like if she was making hamburgers, she would like eat a bunch of raw hamburger meat.
Oh God. What?
Yeah.
Just like pop it in her mouth?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why?
And like, you know, like she was just not a germaphobe. And not
but,
a...
But like there's germaphobe and then there's like raw meat a phobe.
I know, but like think about it. Like steak tartare is just raw hamburger meat.
I mean, you're not wrong.
You know? So, like, she was never... She wasn't paranoid. She was not a paranoid germ or, like, food safety person.
I think it was food... My mom... Well,
and you know what? We survived.
Yeah, that's right. We're here to do this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm just guzzling some peppermint tea because I've got, you know, I'm recovering from a cold.
Yeah.
But no big.
You sound... I saw you yesterday and you sound better than you did yesterday.
You know, and embarrassingly, I like the way my voice sounds with a cold. It's like a little huskier.
It's a little huskier.
Yeah, it's not as like annoying and nasally. So I'm feeling... I'll take this cold if it gives me this kind of like dry voice.
All right. I mean, I think that's why people smoke.
Oh.
I mean, it's not why, but like... Maybe you don't want that voice.
That's literally the one positive thing that comes with smoking is a sexy voice. Everything else is a fucking negative. Don't
smoke, you guys.
Don't smoke, seriously.
Because I said it would give Kate a sexy voice.
I would rather not have a sexy voice than take up those cigarettes. And you know, I did smoke in my 20s. And
you
Yeah, I deeply, deeply regret it.
Like a lot?
Like I was shy and it helped me in social situations. And then I just kind of kept doing it. I don't have a lot of regrets, but that is truly something I harbor a lot of like shame and regret over.
I don't know, but I feel like so-called social smoking was more of a thing in our 20s. Like, I feel like people would say that they were social smokers.
Well, two things. Like, one, you could smoke in bars.
Right.
And restaurants and all over the place. And two, we didn't have phones.
When I started college, you could smoke in the dining hall.
Oh, totally. And you could select a smoking dorm room.
Yes. You had to say whether you were a smoker and they would put you with a smoking roommate.
Now, exactly the same.
Seems like the dark ages.
Yeah, that's weird, right? Like, that, whenever I see the smoking section at Disneyland, I'm like, what? That exists?
Right. And you're also like, oh, those sad people.
Yes. And meanwhile, I was happily that right. for many years. Yeah. But the second we got iPhones or whatever phone you use, that replaced.
Oh, that's so interesting.
When I would started doing comedy at the UCB Theater in 2002, I would stand outside between shows and smoke, so it looked like I had something to do.
Yeah.
But now I would just look at my phone.
Totally.
So there you go. We're all just, and phones are bad in different ways.
Yeah, you get tech neck.
Oh, anyway.
Anyway, Kate, how was your week besides getting sick?
So Dory, I had mentioned that I wanted to talk to you about this because I was sick, I did not exercise all week. And I also didn't exercise because I had a lot of other things going on. I was on deadline for something that I was writing. And I just was like, you know what? The thing that's going to have to go this week is exercising.
Mm.
And it was a great choice.
Great.
I felt really good about it. And I feel like it's an important reminder for me because oftentimes there's a lot of like guilt tied up. And if I don't exercise,
totally.
One, because in addition to like it feeling good physically and making me stronger, it helps my mental health a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm also kind of like happy to say that everything stayed okay missing a week. And I didn't beat myself up for not going to Pilates and taking long walks or whatever it is that I like to do, as for my exercise regimen.
I feel like that's a really good kind of sign of knowing yourself. Like you were like this week, like some weeks exercise, I need exercise for my mental health, but you know what? This week, I'm going to feel better if I don't exercise.
Well, you know what? Because you know what I needed for my mental health? I needed to like clean up the encroaching piles of stuff in my house. It was like one or the other because there's so many things that overwhelm that I had to kind of make that call. And exercise, you know, it's not just like a hour long workout. You got to get there. You got to drive home. You got to shower.
Yep.
It's a 2 hour shebang.
It's a whole
ordeal.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's a time suck. And so it had to be the thing I sacrificed. And I want you to know, a lot of times in the yoga world, one thing that's uttered a lot is like, sometimes your yoga practice is not practicing yoga.
Mm.
You know, like sometimes the thing that's best for yourself is not doing whatever it is. So that's what was good for me this week is that
And also, aren't you supposed to practice like non-attachment in yoga?
Yes. I mean, you're supposed to practice a lot of things that I don't practice.
Right.
I love what you're up to this week because you made fucking cookies.
I made the cookies that are in Allison Roman's Dining In cookbook, which is like the hotness.
Can't get it on Amazon, that cookbook.
Really?
Yeah, I tried.
Wow.
I think it's sold out.
Yeah, it's like the hottest cookbook in town. She's awesome. She briefly worked at BuzzFeed, but she worked at Bon Appetit for a long time. And her whole thing is like, kind of like, don't take this shit too seriously.
Okay,
but like, here's how to make some really good food and like share it with your friends. And she has these cookies, these chocolate chip cookies that are like shortbread chocolate chip cookies. And everyone on Instagram has been making them.
Which I tried to make them because I found the recipe on Smitten Kitchen, but I failed.
But we discussed why you failed,
but
Kate.
It still was embarrassing.
A shortcoming. It was because you didn't have a stand mixer.
Now, can I just...
Although, to be fair, in the recipe, it does say you can use an electric mixer or a stand mixer.
It didn't work.
And I just don't think that an electric mixer does the same job.
Are stand mixers a thing that people own?
Yeah, it's like a very standard wedding gift. Now, I bought one for myself when
That's
I was
right,
single
did.
Because I was like, fuck this. I don't have to be married to get a fucking stand mixer. I'm an independent woman and I can buy a stand mixer for myself.
Listen, Carrie Bradshaw registered for shoes for herself.
Yeah. I mean, but so she had other people buy them for her.
Yeah. You bought this for yourself.
I
You're a better
this
person
for myself.
Than Carrie Bradshaw. Let's be clear.
I almost never use it because I have a small kitchen and it's like in this cabinet and it's in the back and it's really hard to get to. But when I do use it, I'm like, oh, this thing is amazing. It also weighs 1,000 pounds. And it has all these different attachments. Matt once got me the ice cream maker attachment. I've never used it.
Oh, that'd be fun though.
Yeah. There's a pasta attachment. There's all, it's a real multi-purpose kitchen appliance.
And you use anyway, it to make cookies, which means
it has what is called the paddle attachment, which is very good for making dough.
Ooh.
So the first thing you do in this recipe is you cut up 2 1/4 sticks of butter.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes, you do.
And you combine that with regular sugar, light brown sugar, and vanilla. And then you set the stand mixer on medium high for 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, but I found that 3 minutes was fine. And it gets the batter light and fluffy, and it like really gets the batter light and fluffy. And then you gradually add in the flour. You put the speed on low. You gradually add in the flour. Then you add in chopped up either semi-sweet or bittersweet chocolate. I used Guittard bittersweet chocolate chunks.
Went for it.
Hell yeah, I went for it. And then, also you use salted butter.
Oh. And then you sprinkle salt on the cookies.
Sea salt on the cookies. Then you, anyway, whatever. I made cookies. Point being, they were delicious. And also, I stopped Whole30.
Woohoo! Welcome back to cookies.
Thank you. So I had kind of stopped it. I was traveling a lot last week, which I talked about in last week's episode. And when I was traveling, I was like sort of trying to still do Whole30, but also not really. And then I was like, it's just too much. I have too much going on.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Mental load.
Yeah. Like, oh. I'm just going to try to eat healthy-ish. And then if I end up having a slice of cardamom cake because I'm starving and that's the only thing remotely edible in this weird coffee shop on the University of Washington campus, then like I will have it. So I did that. And then Friday night, I had an appointment with my fertility doctor on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., which was annoying. And they're in Brentwood, which is like far from me. And Matt was away. So I knew I'd have to like wake up early, walk the dog, like blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I need some comfort food. And Kate, you had posted on Instagram, you had posted a Domino's pizza,
which was for my kids, which I also ate some of it.
And I was like, oh, you had pizza. Amazing. You were like, actually, I had ramen. And I was like, ramen?
Yes, for my cold.
And it just sounded like the thing that I needed. So I got ramen. It was delicious.
So good. Can I say, listening to you talk about stopping Whole30 because it was too much, I feel like we set ourselves up with these challenges. Like, I've got to do this. I've got to exercise. Here are these boundaries of Whole30.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we give ourselves challenges and like dare ourselves to fail at them. And then when we fail at them, there can be sensations of like, well, I failed at that. But rather, if you release yourself from the feeling of, from it being a thing that you can fail at, then it kind of takes all the pressure off.
Totally.
Of it. It's just an experience.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad I did. And like, now I'm not doing it anymore. Yeah. And I had a cookie before I came here.
Oh, I wish you'd brought me one.
I thought about it.
I mean, it's okay.
And then I was like, I don't know. Are they like, I should have just brought them. I'm sorry.
Again.
Forgive me.
I'm going to release you from that, setting you up for
Thank
a filling.
You.
I meant I was excited to eat them, but I ate the shitty versions that I made and they were still pretty good.
So Kate.
Yes, Tori.
I think we're going to pause now for a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. All while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
I'm sitting across from you, by the way. Dorian, there's a really awesome thread in our Facebook group, which please, if you are not in the Forever 35 Facebook group, you got to get in there.
You got to get in there. It's facebook.com/group/Forever35podcast. I mean, people are asking questions that I just never would have thought of. And then people are responding.
We're learning so much.
We're learning a lot. I would say it is skincare heavy.
That's okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And people have a lot to say and a lot of questions.
And someone asked the group about their shower routine.
Like, well, she posted her own shower routine.
Yes, which was illuminating.
Yes.
And it got us thinking about our own. And then when we were discussing, we realized we do different things.
Totally. And also, I remembered a famous Jezebel post from a couple years ago called "Do You Wash Your Legs?" Which that generated
a viral hit,
a lot of controversy. I guess there was something on "You're the Worst."
Yes.
Where she said she didn't wash her legs and her boyfriend, like, I don't watch it.
Nobody washes their legs.
But then like some people wash their legs. And
who are they?
So anyway, point being, showers are fascinating.
So we're going to just kind of walk through our shower routine.
Yeah.
And just, what if we went through it together?
Oh, like step by step? Like here's what I do in this step.
Yes.
Here's what you do. Okay,
and
great.
Then we can just see where we differ and where we are alike.
Love it. Okay.
And I did not bring any products. Dory brought approximately 12 to 13 that are on the table, including her razor.
Well, I was like,
I'm excited.
You know, I really want to get specific.
You covered the bases.
Also, as we were saying before we started, you don't really realize how many products you're using until you actually start going through and you're like, oh my God.
It's a lot. So we get into the
shower. And I don't feel like I use a lot of products.
No, you feel like you're low maintenance. I feel like I don't use a lot.
Yeah.
And then if you came over and opened my bathroom, you'd be like, what are you hoarding specifically only in this room?
Okay, wait, let's start let's set the scene.
It's morning.
When in the morning do you take your shower? Do you like get your kids off to school and then shower, or do you shower before?
I would like to say, on the days that I'm showering, I don't shower every day. Okay. I'm probably in every other day. I dry shampoo on the off days.
Okay.
Maybe I'll stretch it to 2 days, but normally I can't. I'd like to get up and shower, and then they'll be like kind of waking up by the time I'm done.
Okay.
So 6:45, let's say I get into the shower.
Okay.
I walk in. Uh-huh. I take off my clothes and I get in.
Okay.
And the first thing I do.
Wait, Kate.
What?
I have to talk about when I take my
shower.
Oh, yeah.
What time is this?
So I get up and I make a cup of coffee.
Okay. This already stresses me out that you don't go right into the shower.
I don't go right into the shower.
Oh, my God.
This is what I'm saying. It's very controversial. I don't go right into the shower. Matt tends to go right into the shower if he's showering in the morning. Sometimes he showers at night. But I do not. I don't like going right into the shower. I need to sort of gradually wake up. So I immediately make a cup of coffee, and then I usually have a Lara bar.
Okay.
Because also the very first thing that I do is I take my meds.
Okay.
In the morning.
That makes sense.
I take Wellbutrin. I take a prenatal vitamin. I take a vitamin D pill, and I take Folgard, which is like folate acid or something.
Checking your phone as this is all happening?
I'm not at my phone yet.
Okay.
My phone is in my office.
Ugh.
So picture it. Okay. I get out of bed. I walk out my bedroom door, and then my house is weird. So I have this like weird closet that's kind of in between my bedroom and the hallway. And then there's like a built-in dresser.
Right.
And I keep my meds on the dresser.
And is there a bottle of water just waiting for you?
Good question, Kate.
Thank you. I'm an interviewer.
I keep a cup of water on my bedside table.
Okay.
And I take that cup of water with me to the pills.
Oh my God.
All the pills. And then I walk into the kitchen. I turn on the coffee machine. And then I go get my phone.
Okay, so wait, get us to the shower. So let's say
I've done all this. I walk the dog.
And this is early because I'm always actually impressed by when you reply to something. It's always at 6:30 in the morning.
You're up early. I just can't really sleep late anymore.
I know, it's old age.
And then
you walk the dog and then you shower? So you've put on clothes?
No, I walk the dog in my pajamas.
Okay. With a bra on?
No.
Okay. Okay.
I walk the dog in my pajamas. I put on Toms or sneakers and walk the dog. And then I come home. Matt usually goes to Starbucks, gets us our sous vide egg white bites.
Delicious.
I come home. I eat the sous vide egg white bites. I drink some more coffee.
Oh my God. It's like a full hour.
Yeah,
this is stressing me out.
Basically. And then I get in the shower.
Oh my God. By this point, I'm dressed.
Oh yeah, you like, I always know, I was like, oh yeah, Kate's like taking her kids to school.
Well, but it's a different time schedule.
Totally.
Of what time we have to do things.
Yeah.
So you and I, let's imagine us in our respective bathrooms.
Yes.
We're about to walk
into
the shower.
Okay.
For me, it's 6:45 a.m. For you, it's like 7:30?
Nah, it's more like 7:45.
Okay.
Maybe even 8.
Wow.
I know.
We get into the shower.
Yes.
And then the water's already running and hot, right?
Water's running and hot. Yep. I'm not a monster.
You like that cold before it gets hot? No.
God, no.
Do you... like, we are in agreement that we wet our hair.
Yes.
And then what's the first thing you do?
Boom. St. Ives.
Excuse me.
Nourish and Soothe Oatmeal and Shea Butter Body Wash.
I grab my Dove Bar.
Costs approximately $4.99 at Target.
Yeah, same with my cheapo Dove Bars.
It has no parabens.
Great.
It does have some other stuff that is not supposed to be that great for you, like methyl chloroisothiazolinone.
Can I smell it?
Yes.
Because I never...
It's not super scented.
We just use bars of soap.
Oh, I don't like bars of soap. I like shower gel.
Oh, that smells good.
Yeah. It's like a nice scent. It's not like a floral or like a, you know... It's just like nice.
It's nice. I use just soap because that's what my husband likes and that's just what we're into.
Oh, okay. My husband and I have different bathrooms.
Yeah, this is the fucking best part about your house.
Right.
You have two bathrooms.
Because we don't have kids. If we had kids, Matt's bathroom would be the kids' bathroom.
Right.
And we would just use my bathroom. But because we don't, that is one benefit.
That is amazing.
And we have separate bathrooms, which honestly is amazing. And I recommend it to anyone who can do it.
I feel like everyone on House Hunters, that would be the first thing I would be like, are there two bathrooms? One for each person? Yeah.
Now, literally.
So we're soaping up.
We're soaping up.
I soap up my armpits and then I immediately shave them every time I'm
every
in the
shower.
Every day.
I oh, but you don't shower every day.
No, but if I was showering every day, I always shave my armpits.
Really? I shave my armpits probably every 4 days. Maybe even 5.
I cannot handle
it. Because my skin is sensitive and I feel like if I overshave, it gets like irritated and red and bumpy. And so I really try not to overshave.
I'm just self-conscious about
what do you shave with?
I shave with a men's razor.
Oh.
It's like a men's Gillette Mach 50 or whatever the hell
it's called.
I shave
with a Venus.
A Venus is nice.
What bar of soap do you use?
A Dove.
Dove. Okay.
Now, one thing we talked about that you don't do and I do is... like when we shave, like I shaved my legs yesterday.
Yeah.
I also shave my feet.
How often do you shave your legs?
I don't know. Like maybe one. It depends on the season.
Season, sure.
So, but also because LA, we're bare legged many, many days of
That's
the year
true.
Here.
Yep.
And I'm also, I wish I was more comfortable having my leg hair, but this is just a shitty part of the patriarchy that's burned into my brain. Gotta shave these legs. But I also would shave... shave the hair on my feet and I also as a kid would shave my knuckles and my hands. I was really self-conscious about
hair
on my hands. And then I used to bleach the hair on my hands.
Oh my God.
I don't do that anymore. I finally kind of like came to my senses about it. Like you can't even really
know.
It felt like I had like full heads of hair on my fingers.
Oh my
That's
God.
How self-conscious no, I was about
that's
it.
That's sad.
I know it is.
I'm glad you grew out of that.
Only on my hands, still self-conscious
it
about
also
my
sounds
feet.
Labor intensive.
It was a lot of work to be nairing and bleaching the hair on my fingers.
Do people still use nair?
I think people still use all that stuff. Yeah.
I never used nair. It seemed terrifying. How often do you shave your legs? We didn't establish this.
I would
this.
Say 1 to 2 times a week.
Oh my God. I shave my legs probably once every... I mean, if in the summer, once a week. In the winter, we're lucky if it's once every 2 weeks.
I mean, that's fine.
I just let it grow.
You just let it. Sometimes I like to let it grow as well.
It's just like, why? Who cares?
You know what? I don't know. I have a lot of leftover insecurity about hair because I was a hairy kid.
Mm.
And I was called gorilla legs at camp.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I shaved. Also, I had a unibrow and I didn't know about tweezing. And so I just took the razor and just went right
no.
down.
Oh, no. God.
Yeah.
Ow.
So I have a lot of like, I get hair on my nipples.
Oh, yeah, me
Let's
too.
Just lay
but
it
I
out
pluck
here.
Those.
I do too. But I didn't know. I thought I was the only person.
I know. I feel like I was made fun of that. Like, I was made fun of that for at camp.
Because people saw your nipples?
Yeah, but, well, because we all showered together. Oh my God, camp was such a disaster. Also, I was just thinking about this the other day. I feel like the optics of a Jewish summer camp having a shower house.
Jesus Christ.
Is really creepy. I'm just going to say that.
Oh my God. I mean, I guess so.
Like, why did no one ever say anything about that?
I don't know. That's really depressing, though. That makes me sad.
I know. Anyway.
Okay.
Nipple hair, tweezing.
We're hairy. So anyway, okay. I shave my feet in the shower.
Okay.
This is full disclosure.
So number one, for you shave.
Pits. I don't know. I just go to the pits.
You just go to the pits. And then do you lather up the rest of your body?
A butt.
Okay.
Butt. I don't shave.
Just your butt.
Yeah. You got to get in that butt.
But do you like wash your arms?
No.
You wash your
You wash your arms?
Yes.
But there's nothing on there.
I know, but I just like, okay, so here's what I do. I put some shower gel in my hand, and then I like go up my arms. I wash my pits. I kind of go down my body.
Shimmy
down my body. Wash the vag. Wash the butt crack.
Oh, a soap wash in your vagina is not something I do. I just do water.
I mean, I don't like get up there.
I know you're not douching, but.
No, but
that's still an interesting choice.
I also don't like Brazilian, so there's hair down there. And I feel like it needs to get washed. It needs to be clean.
I mean, I guess maybe I should change my views.
I'm just saying. I also don't use a washcloth. Just getting in there with my hands.
Same.
Yeah.
But on your face, do you use a washcloth?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't really either.
So, all right. So we've got.
Whoa. Okay.
We've established we do nothing the same.
No. I'm still stressed out about the coffee in the morning. I am
fully caffeinated by the time I take my shower.
And I literally roll out of bed and then just kind of stumble looking at my phone into the bathroom.
Ooh.
No, and I pee and then I hop in the shower.
No, I want to be like fully alert when I take my shower.
That's so interesting. You have a whole hair system. I just like shampoo, rinse, condition the ends, rinse.
And that's it. What shampoo and conditioner do you use?
Kevin Murphy.
I'm not familiar.
He's a guy. A hairstylist recommended it and I really liked it. And then I tried the Davina stuff.
Uh-huh. Isn't that for curly hair?
Apparently, it did not work on my hair. It made my hair so greasy and oily, and I gave it away.
Yeah, I think it's for curly hair.
Well, live and learn,
totally.
But I actually really like this Kevin Murphy. It's expensive because it's like salon shampoo, but then yeah. I also have big jugs from Costco of like Head and Shoulders and Pantene for when I don't want to use up the more expensive shampoo.
Oh, sure.
So it's like this cost-effective system I've developed.
Interesting.
Where I have my more affordable shampoos and then my fancy salon shampoos, and I kind of just dabble.
Okay.
To try to make the fancy stuff last.
Okay.
I don't know if that's logical.
Interesting.
It doesn't really make any sense.
I just use, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I use this OGX Thick and Full Biotin and Collagen Shampoo and Conditioner, which I buy at Target.
Do you color your hair?
No.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
So I do, and this is a color hair stuff.
Oh.
Your hair, you have not a gray hair.
I have like a couple.
Wow.
I pluck them.
Oh, that sounds hurtful. Like it would hurt.
No. But yeah, I don't have gray hair. I think, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You don't have to explain
it's
just,
it. It is what it is.
It's good.
You know?
It's a great, I mean.
Look, it saves me a lot of money.
Would you go gray if you had gray hair? Would you let it go?
I don't know.
My mom did. My mom never dyed her hair.
Uh-huh.
And I liked how it looked on her. It looked really, it always looks really like classy.
My therapist has gray hair. She's gorgeous. So I feel like it like works for her.
Yeah.
I was also, we FaceTime because she's in New York. She's my therapist from New York. And in our last session, I was like distracted because I realized, oh my God, she has amazing skin.
You got to just ask her to be a guest on the pod.
Well, she said she listened to the first episode.
Oh, no. Do you think she's listening to this?
Maybe. Hi, Joyce.
Oh, my God. Joyce, hi.
So, anyway.
Okay.
So I shampoo, and then I wash out the shampoo, and then I put a little bit of conditioner on the ends, like a tiny bit of conditioner. I barely use any conditioner. but I leave it in. And then if I have to shave, that's when I shave.
You let the conditioner do its magic.
I let the conditioner do its magic. So I shave and then I wash my face.
I also save washing my face for the end.
Yeah.
It's like the finale.
It's the finale. And then occasionally, so I have these scrubby things that I got at the Korean spa.
I also have those in my shower.
And sometimes if I'm feeling like I need some exfoliating, I'll scrub. Also, when you do IVF treatments, you often have to wear estrogen patches.
Ooh.
And when you take them off, you have all this like gummy residue on your back that's hard to get off. I wear them on my back. Some people wear them on their stomachs. But I found that these are very effective in getting it off.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Good tip.
Let's talk about face wash before we wrap up our shower routine.
Okay.
Because we've had a debate.
We have.
Dory tried the face wash that I use and like.
Yeah. So I had been using CeraVe, which I liked, but I'm trying to eliminate parabens from my diet.
Your body diet?
My body diet. And so Kate really liked this Cosrx low pH Good Morning Gel Cleanser. So I bought it because I trust her.
Maybe you shouldn't.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't like how it smells.
Which I love how it smells. Oh, it's like a God. Weird medicinal.
Just give this to
no.
you.
No. Are you sure you
yeah,
don't
want it? I don't like it. And then I also felt like
so
it was
full.
Yeah, I only used it like 3 or 4 times. And I was like, I don't think I like this. I also felt like it was very drying.
That's interesting. It hasn't dried my dry, and I have dry skin.
Oh. I didn't like it. So at Target last night, I had to go in for some paper towels, and they were having a sale on Pacifica.
Oh, I love Pacifica.
So I was like, let me just try this Cactus Revive Milk to Foam Face Wash that says it removes dirt and cleanse, and it has cactus and salt water and bubbles, and it's sulfate-free and vegan and cruelty-free, and it just like kind of smells nice.
Can I smell it?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, it does smell nice.
Yeah. And it gets super foamy.
Their day cream, I love.
You've mentioned that.
Yeah, I like their products and their BB cream and their CC cream.
So they had a whole variety of face washes that I was intrigued by, but this one seemed like I really wanted something gentle. This seemed like the gentlest one.
That looks really nice. Yeah. I will say that I also have been using my Tata Harper exfoliating cleanser in
yes.
the shower.
After you mentioned that, I brought mine into the shower. I'm planning on using it.
Yeah, I really also like that cleanser. This Cosrx is kind of like my workhorse.
I hear you.
Especially, you know, just if I need to just do it quick.
Yeah.
This is my go-to guy.
Oh, but and, you know, I had an almost full bottle of Cetaphil because I'd stopped using Cetaphil because someone told me it was
it's
bad.
Like a
paraben
jar.
So I switched to CeraVe, which, you know, is also not great. But I gave it away.
That's great.
Yeah. So I feel good about it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we get out.
We get out.
And we'll have to do the like the next step. Another time.
Oh, and then I wash out. I wash
oh,
out.
Oh, right.
The
you don't get out with the conditioner.
Correct. I wash out the conditioner. I do one final, like, full rinse, and then I get out. How long do you spend in the shower?
I would say it's like 5 minutes.
Me
tops.
Too. Yeah, I'm a quick shower.
Well, also, I got really good at keeping them short because we were in such a bad drought about
yes.
a year ago that it's still, we don't have a lot of water here. So
yeah.
better to be water safe.
Totally. I had never been a long shower, and then I was like, oh, and I get to be like
right, you're like
drought conscious now. So I get out and I towel off, and then I use the same towel that I put on my body. I put it on my hair.
I do that too, but I also have a terry cloth robe.
I do too, but I only use it if it's cold.
I love it.
And then I do we want to get into our post-shower routine?
Well, hold on. We are past 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should wrap it up.
Okay.
Because post-shower is almost like a morning routine.
It is. Okay. So I just, you know, I towel off and that's it.
And then you start your day.
Then I start my day. How do you feel?
I feel stressed because I've never thought about what anybody else does in the shower.
Totally.
And now that I know it's different, I don't know why it stresses me out. That's a stupid thing to care about.
Right. And like in my mind, the way I shower makes like, it's logical. It makes sense. But like, the way you shower to you makes sense.
I'm very interested. It's not something I've ever given thought to. If people want to share their shower routines,
please
just hit us up.
Hit us up.
Because I'm very curious. I also want to know if I'm alone in the things I do. What if nobody responds about also shaving the hair on their feet? You got to be out there. There's got to be other feet shavers.
Then I think you should just kind of accept that you're a freak.
I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
I'm a hairy weirdo.
Well, just, you know. So I think it's actually time to talk to our guest.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Here's Kima Jones.
So our guest today is Kima Jones. We are so excited to have you, Kima.
Yay!
An actual 35-year-old.
An actual 35-year-old who will be 35 forever. Kima, I'm going to read a little bio I put together based on your website.
Okay, cool.
And feel free to jump in if I forget something or you want to add anything.
Okay.
Kima Jones, our guest, is the founder of Jack Jones Literary Arts, a book publicity company, quote, for writers who are unafraid. I love that.
Thank you.
Kima was included on the inaugural Bitch 50 list in 2017 as a shapeshifter who pushed pop culture to be more representative, inspiring, and meaningful for communities who are typically ignored by mainstream media. And the Los Angeles Times called Kima 2018's literary breakthrough and an important new voice on the national stage. Kima divides her time between Los Angeles and New York and also writes poetry and prose. And I also just wanted to quickly read this description of your agency because I thought it was so cool.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Jack Jones Literary Arts is changing the way we talk about literature. It is no mistake that Jack Jones's roster is 98% Black women and women of color. Jack Jones is shifting how literature by women, queer, feminist, of color, of a certain age, is reviewed and discussed by broadening the conversation and opening avenues formerly closed by mainstream outlets. That's awesome.
You know, we try. We try to be awesome.
So welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you both for having me. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Dory.
Very excited you're here.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that we like to talk about with our guests is just a routine that they have to kind of make themselves feel good. I guess you could call it self-care. So we're wondering, what is yours?
Okay. My self-care routine, every morning I light my candle. That's my big thing. Ooh. I like amber, I like vetiver, I like sandalwood, but I need my house to smell like something. I'm into aromatherapy in that way. But my big thing is that I dry brush daily.
Ooh.
I dry brush. I am the queen of exfoliation.
Wow. Whoa. I'm going to pass
take
the
us there.
So it's just your regular, you know, back brush. I have a wooden one, like a really nice bamboo one, with the hard bristles.
Okay.
And you basically brush your skin in circular motions. I like to start at my crown, at the top of my head, and then work my way down to my feet.
Oh, that sounds so
and
nice.
And you just get all the dead skin off before you get in the shower.
Ooh.
So it's just a way to regenerate your cells.
Yeah.
And if you have eczema or dry skin or just, you know, any kind of skin condition,
gets the
kind of rough layers off. And so I'm big into exfoliation. My face, I don't dry brush my face. I have an exfoliation scrub for that, but I'm all about like getting whatever dead layer was there from yesterday. Let's remove it.
I love
before
that.
We start the day.
How did you get into that?
My mother, when I was young, she always kept a very sharp knife in the bathroom, in the tub. And everyone knew it was like the bathroom knife, but it was for her to exfoliate her heels. Her feet,
ooh,
right? Because from working and she would get calluses, right? And like, having 8 children, she wasn't going out and getting pedicures weekly. So, but that was her routine. And we would see her do that on the weekend. She would take time. She would soak her feet. She would scrape them. Then she would lather them up with Vaseline, put on some heavy socks. And that's how she kept herself, her skin feeling good and feeling youthful. And so in that way, I've always, you know, and then she also always taught us, you know, when you're moisturizing your face, you should stroke up.
Yes.
Oh, never. No one taught me that.
Right.
That's a good rule.
No, because if you go in this direction, you're bringing your skin down.
Yes.
You're making it sag. So my mother, you know, she lotions, she moisturizes every part of her body. It's always an upward motion.
That's like, I now I'm rehashing in my brain how I moisturize, and it's literally like hands down my body.
You are just bringing your skin to your knees.
It's so saggy. That's so, I also just love the like inherited lessons of our mothers or of anybody. It doesn't have to be your mom. But just the things we kind of witness and take into our consciousness and then just start doing because we've absorbed them and watched, you know, the people in our lives do them. There's something special about that. I love that.
I'm totally with you. And I'm actually trying really hard to incorporate it in some prose that I'm writing now, because every time I'm home and I'm at my mother's house, I'm fascinated by the beauty traditions of women, but also, you know, just generational differences. Like if you go in my mother's bathroom, you will still find like a douche or three four. You know what I mean? Whereas my generation, we're just like, don't do that to your vagina.
Right.
You know, but my mother, you know, that for her and her generation, that was part of cleanliness. That was part of getting yourself ready. Right.
Yeah.
And so, or like Noxzema cold cream, where I don't use that.
Yeah.
But it's very much part of her beauty routine. And so I always like to compare a bathroom, cabinet situations whenever I'm home, but I love it. I love it. I love that she still uses Q-tips. I love all of the things.
Wait, I still use Q-tips.
I also still use Q-tips, but I might eliminate that along with my downward lotion.
Very passe.
Is there something for you that's grounding about the dry brushing? I feel like one thing I've always heard is like just kind of touching your body, especially first thing in the morning, can kind of root you in your day. Do you find that at all?
As a person who lives alone, I think that it is important to remind yourself that you have like love in your life, even if you're single, right? Mm-hmm. But in a real way, just, I think that especially for Black women, we haven't been able to, there have been generations of us who haven't been able to take care of ourselves and spend that time on ourselves, right? Because the idea is that, you know, time is an investment and usually you're on someone else's clock.
Yeah.
So you're rushing in the morning and this is true for all women. You're rushing to get ready for work. You're rushing to feed your kids. You're rushing to do a thing. And so it just feels good to me that I can take as much time as I want because I'm self-employed, right? Because I've chosen this life for myself where I can spend an hour or two grooming myself in the morning if that's the time that I need to take.
And it's not frivolous.
It's not frivolous. Yeah, saving my skin.
Yeah. Like, I feel like there's a lot of words that get thrown around about like skincare, self-care, all that stuff. And I feel like there is actually a lot of value to it. Self-value, and also like it's nice to have exfoliated skin.
Thankfully I'm a person who knows herself and I just feel good about, like, I have incredible love for myself. But I think for any woman moving to Los Angeles, if you already are not grounded in who you are, the city will make you feel horrible. And I don't care if you're 18, 38, 58, right?
Yeah.
This city just puts a real valuation on women that is so unfair, right? It makes you think that if you don't have this like one archetypal look, that you're just not it.
Right.
And so I just also think, just to keep myself sane in Los Angeles around beauty standards for women and this Hollywood machine that we're all a part of, even if you don't work in Hollywood, just by being a woman in Los Angeles, then I'm like, or I'm going to have this, you know, morning or evening, or, you know, I'm going to do these things for myself, because so much of beauty routines are not about making women feel good about themselves, right? It's about getting that casting or get in this city, right? And about getting that job and about someone else's standard for what you should look like or what you should be doing. And that's not what my beauty routine is about. It's for me. And that's what we're talking about here, right? Women feeling good about themselves versus like, I am only waxing because I have to wax for this job.
Right.
Yeah. Or my partner expects it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was curious about your work in working with writers. And I imagine there's a lot of giving of yourself. You're supporting people in such a creative path is so emotional. So how do you not, how do you find balance for yourself? If putting myself in my position, the position of your job, I feel like I would be sucked in emotionally, and you're working a ton. How do you kind of, I don't know, stay balanced and find like time and energy to devote to yourself? Emotional as well as physical.
No, that's a totally great question, because I had a really hard time with that for the first year. I'm 3 years in as a publicist, but the first year was especially difficult. And I think especially for publicists like myself, who are also creative writers, because just like, when does this machine stop? Like, right. I am a writer who works with writers. My friends are writers. We're going to a writing event. I'm pitching writers. Sometimes it can just feel like there's no separation at all.
Yeah.
You know, all of my friends are writers, you know, and then my friends are now my clients.
Right.
Right. And it's just like, sometimes, you know, can we go to brunch and maybe not talk about books right. or your publicity campaign or whatever is, yeah. you know, I just want to like talk and hang out with my girlfriend. So it was very difficult in the beginning, and it really took me, thinking about the way that I want it to be, you know, do I want to be that person who like schleps to every single literary event, you know, because I want to support writers, but I also want to be good to myself.
Yeah.
And I just had to give myself like maximums, like no more than 3 literary events a week, because by the third, if you're working 40 hours, 60 hours, by the third event, you're tired.
Yeah.
So 2 is actually a better number. So it used to be 3. I cut it down to 2.
Yeah.
You know, no events on Sundays, because I'm preparing for work on Monday. I'm getting my house together. I may have just come back from a trip. I want to do some laundry. I don't want to be out in the world on a Sunday. You know, I want to get my thoughts together. I want to look at my day planner and figure out what's going on. And so it took a long time, like a year, for me to like not feel bad, yeah. right? Because when you accept, that's the other thing. When people give you money, they expect your soul. It's like, I paid you, yeah. now give me your soul.
It's true. I mean, and it's hard to feel like you don't owe them your soul.
It's very hard to especially when those people are maybe your friends
right.
or maybe writers that you've always wanted to work with. You know what I mean?
And you are invested in their success.
You are invested in their success. And, you know, you don't want to say no. But then I just came up with a line and it's funny and I just stick with it. But sometimes I just have to tell, you know, the writer, I'm not a neurosurgeon. There's no brain, like there's no such thing as an emergency, actually, right?
right.
There really isn't. Not in the writing world,
this is
right?
calming me down, because you're right.
Not in the right, there are emergencies, just not in the work that I do, right? Because I'm not an obstetrician. So there's never a time when you need me at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you've done something in your life where you need me at 11 p.m., you actually need like Olivia Pope or a lawyer or someone other than me. And so that helped me to just say, you know what? I know this can wait. I know it can wait until the morning.
How do you shut off? Like, do you turn your phone off? I mean, how do you shut?
Yeah, how do you make sure yeah. you're not?
I'm disgusting. I sleep with my phone in my bed next to me. My phone is in my bed at all times. Because I need to know that is what's happening.
This is a frequent topic of discussion.
I struggle with this deeply.
I'm a Virgo control freak.
I was wondering what your sign was. I was
Virgo
sitting here.
Control freak.
You were talking about looking at the day planner on Sunday, and I was like, what is her sign?
I'm a Virgo, oldest of 8, type A, oldest child, control freak. So my phone is in that bed.
Okay.
And I have a Google calendar. I have my physical calendar. I mean,
which is on the table right now.
This is wow. January, right?
Oh my God.
So like it's. So my thing is, I can see what's coming in, and then I'll answer it in the morning. That's it.
You can almost compartmentalize a little bit. Can you? Or is it you've learned to?
I've learned to.
Yeah.
I've learned to.
It's really hard.
Well, it's like everyone says, set boundaries. But what if you don't even know what the boundaries are supposed to be?
Right.
Like that's when you were talking, I was thinking, yeah, I mean, how do you even figure that out? Like 11 p.m. or, you know, whatever it is, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. That's my cutoff. Like you really have to sort of know yourself.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Really well. And that's really hard.
I have some funny ones. Like Jack Jones, we open so our office is downtown Los Angeles. We open the office at 7 a.m. so we can be on EST. So our workdays, my staff actually comes in about 6:50. We start at 7 a.m. and we go till 3, which is 6 p.m. New York time. So that's my, you know, once everyone in New York goes home and they're not checking their emails, that's, you know, right. It's kind of over for the day. On Friday, when I get the New York Times book review and I get that email in my inbox, you know, with the notables and the list for the week, you know, to read through the weekend, that's it. I know that is really the end of my week when I get that, you know, it always comes on Friday. When the New York Times emails me on Friday, I'm like, that's it. The book world has gone home for the weekend and I can go home too.
And you're out.
I'm out.
And you're going back and forth to New York constantly. I mean, I follow yes. you on many forms of social media and you are always traveling. So tell us a little about how you kind of keep your sanity with all of that travel, because that's going to disrupt your routine.
It does, except I travel fabulously.
Please tell us how to do it.
That, you know, I decide after my first year of publicity, and this is, you know, because I did a lot of work, you know, I went to all of the book festivals. Anyone asked me to do anything, I went to everything. There was no. You know, I was working 65-hour weeks. I said yes to everything. And it was something like I had done like 70 events in 1 year that first year, right? And I was like, this doesn't make sense. The second year when I realized, okay, these are the things I have to be at, you know, these are the important things. I go to New York every 6 weeks.
Okay.
So saying that though, you know, I fly first class because I'm like, I have to do this every 6 weeks. I want to be comfortable.
Right.
I want to sleep.
Yeah.
I want to put that chair back.
Yeah.
And this is a part of my job. It's also a tax write-off. This is my work.
Yeah.
You know, I need to go and I need to advocate for these writers. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I also want food, you know?
Right.
And yeah. So I'm like, if this is part of my job, so I've just made it a point to say, okay, well, this is the way I don't like travel. I don't like the way Black people and people of color treat it. I mean, just actually anyone is treated these days and I just feel like the air mm-hmm. space has become this new alien, strange, WWE place. And I have fear and paranoia of someone saying the wrong thing to me or while I'm flying. And like, next thing you know, my life is a TMZ video, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. And so, I'm like, if I have to do this thing, especially as a large bodied woman, I want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't want people to like, move around and like, oh God, she's going to come and sit next to me. Cause that's definitely happened to me a few times where you can see the person just does not want me to be next to them. They feel like I'm encroaching on their space. So I was like, you know what? I have to do this thing. This is part of my work. It's important to me to be comfortable. It's important. I need to feel good about myself. I'm just going to travel first class. Look, you don't want me to sit next to you and I don't want to sit next to you either.
Right.
Seriously.
It was that simple. It was a simple decision. Like, you know, use your points, use your card. Yep. You know, I have lots of points just because of how much I travel. But that was one of those decisions where it was just like, do I want like a loft downtown or do I want to stay in my apartment, my studio apartment that I've been in for 5 years? And travel well. And I chose travel well because I couldn't have both.
Right.
So I chose travel well. Apartment.
I like that's also you can't I mean someone can have everything, but you can't have it. Wait, now I'm feeding
you
into
can't
some,
have it all.
Can't have it all. This old trope. But you know what I mean? There are choices you have to make. And decisions that if you, you know, there's some sacrifice to get the other things.
There is sacrifice. And especially like for me, I have two employees. And so I paying that also like giving them a livable wage, you know, they can make it and have like comfortable social lives and be able to put some money in savings as young 20 somethings in LA. That's also important to me. You know, I can't pay them $1 million, but I try to pay them well. I don't do internships at Jack Jones. Everyone is paid a salary. You know what I mean? Sick time, mental health days. Yeah. These things are important. And so for me to keep my overhead down, it made sense for me to stay in my old apartment. And then hire two extremely capable, intelligent women to help support the work that I do. Mm-hmm. You know, $4,000, $3,000 laugh downtown versus, you know, another woman's salary.
Yeah.
That is someone's right. salary.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I chose to have some employees and chill out on my old couch. So I'll have this couch for a few more.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor article makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs, including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Years.
This is a little off topic, but on Twitter you said you wanted to talk about stripes.
Oh my god, I was just gonna ask.
I almost wore a striped shirt, but then I was so cozy in the sweater. But I want to know about, because I am also a stripe person.
I just love them. I love stripes. I have very wide hips that I love. But people always say, you know, if you have wide hips, or you know, if you're a big lady, or just anything past the size 4, like don't wear horizontal stripes. It makes you look so, so wide. And I'm like, really? Does it? Because I always look so wonderful when I wear stripes. So I just love stripes. I love polka dots. I love florals. And I don't know if that's something that's carried over with me from girlhood. Because my mother put me, 80s baby. So maybe it's just like, I just kept going and never stopped. But it's just an idea of like things people tell you you should not do if you're a particular shape or if your body looks a particular way. And I just really put on what looks good on me. Like I don't wear things that are t-shirt cut just because it doesn't look good on my shape, not because someone else said it doesn't look good on my shape. Yeah, when I put it on, I'm just like, a little bit too much boobs for this, you know? Or a cowl neck. I love cowl necks. Uh-huh. I wish I could wear one. When you are as endowed as I, you cannot, it doesn't look good, right? Yeah, because you have you have a situation and then you put a blanket. It looks like a large, you know, bed in a bag sitting on top of the situation that you already have. So I admire Calnex. I look at them from afar. I always tell women, you look amazing, but it's not for me.
Right.
So it's just a matter of knowing what's for me. Horizontal stripes are for me.
And you also mentioned that you wanted to talk about bras.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all are so funny.
That is a bras for women above 34C is a
thing.
Yeah. And it's like and luckily in LA, there's actually like a store for
Jeanette bras,
yes. Jeanette's, which is great. But you had a brand, which I can't remember the name
of. Elomi.
Yeah. Okay.
I love them. And so I do not wear ugly bras. All my bras are, I mean, first of all, right, my situation. So my bras are, like, the cheapest bra I own was like $98 or something, right? So my bras are somewhere between $100 and maybe like $130, $140 each. Hand wash them in Woolite, you know, and I have to buy bras annually because that's just about as much as that poor elastic can take, you know, or that sheet, whatever the fabric is, it can't last more than that when you have big breasts. So I love Elomi because everything, you know, everything is very strappy. Everything is very lacy. It all feels good. Especially if you were like a kid who suddenly had like the biggest breasts in class and like you went straight into catalog bras or JCPenney bras. I went straight into JCPenney bras. There was no training bra.
Yeah.
It was like I was flat chested and then I woke up and then I was a C cup, then a D cup, then double D and then like doomsday, you know?
How old were you?
I was 12.
Yeah. I was like 10 when my boobs appeared.
It was funny because it actually happened over eighth grade summer. So we all went home, you know, from junior high. Then high school, I came back to high school and it was like body, you know, and it was so uncomfortable because it was so noticeable because, again, I didn't have that training bra stage. It was just like I was a C cup over the course of a summer, you know. And then my mother, you know, God bless her, made sure I had like the ugliest bras possible with like eight brackets down the back, you know, really thick straps because in her mind, well, you know, and then she also used to make me sleep in bras because the idea is, you know, it would keep them perkier.
Oh my God.
Keep your breasts perkier if you slept in a bra.
Oh, which is
you didn't sleep in your bras?
No. I knew like right away genetically I had like flat boobs. I've always just had like saggy 50-year-old lady boobs as like a 12-year-old. Is this too much?
No.
It's not too much.
I just assumed it was always genetics and like perky boobs, you just got them or not. But did it work?
I feel like I have good hang time.
Wow.
I call it hang time.
Man.
Men call theirs such. I have good hang time. But, you know, also, I don't sleep in bras anymore. But I slept in bras for so many years. And it was just such a normal thing, you know, where it's like you're supposed to train your breast to stay up.
Yeah.
And then again, that's generational because my doctor, you know, you go to the gynecologist, she's just like, what?
You don't know? You sleep in bras.
Right. It's supposed to be a bra. And she's just like, girl, come on.
The thing, bras are so tricky because I feel like I would always was taught they should just be cheap. Like they're like underpants. Like you shouldn't invest money in your bras. And now as I'm getting older, a bra to me is the most important piece of clothing. Like, I feel like that's where you should put your money with your clothes, especially if you have larger breasts. I don't know. I haven't had an A cup again since like fifth grade, but
shoes and bras, most money.
Cause your comfort for me comes from how comfortable my breasts feel. And if I'm secure
also of your clothing, right?
Yeah.
Because I hate that four puppy look when, you know, you have the set and then the set on top because you have breasts overflowing or maybe they're coming out of
your
armpits.
Because your bra doesn't fit right.
Because your bra doesn't fit right. And it's just not comfortable. It's not good for your back. You know, it's like health. There are health reasons why you should be wearing a good bra. And so I wear very good bras because I have very big breasts. I don't have any back pain. I don't want back pain. And I'm like, my breasts are sexy. They look good. I want them to look good. I don't want to look matronly.
Right.
I don't want to wear one of those triangle cupped armor things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also with larger breasts, the bras, the sexiness level goes down and they start to look like harnesses.
Yes. Harnesses for breastfeeding people. Yeah. You know, everything just looks like
utilitarian.
Utilitarian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just really ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was stuck in ugly bras when my mother was buying my bras, but that's only because she loves me and she wanted me to have perky, large breasts. And she wanted to make it difficult for anyone to get into my bras. So I had 12.
Someone needs like a tool to
unhook all
You need the combination lock.
Right. Good job, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I wanted to ask about the writing retreat that Jack Jones is
Absolutely.
Doing. Because it, well, one, between you running your own publicity firm, also being a writer, and then coordinating a writer's retreat, I think I said to Dory, I was like, this, just one of those things would be a lot. Those are three huge things, but the retreat sounds amazing. And I also feel like it's valuable to mention in case anybody listening is
Absolutely. Interested. Actually, so the first annual retreat happened back in October in Taos, New Mexico. We're about to announce the lineup for the second retreat. So it's a retreat specifically for women of color writers. And the reason why I did that was because, you know, my first writing residency was McDowell. And I loved it. I had an amazing time. The food is great. It's my favorite. But there are some conversations that felt really stagnant and stifled sometimes and just didn't feel good. Especially not just McDowell, but any space as a writer, a person of color when you're in and someone asks how you got there. Mm. Because my goal, I'm always just like, I applied, you know, and there's always this assumption that you don't really belong here, that someone helped you get in or you're here because you're of color. And I just, and then so it makes you feel less vulnerable, obviously, and less comfortable. And I think there is, especially professional spaces for me as a publicist. The second part of why I started it is because working with writers, and I especially work with debut writers, university press writers, small press, all that to say, sometimes they don't have agents. Sometimes they have questions that they don't feel like they can answer because they don't want to look stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially women. We've been taught not to talk about money. We've been taught, you know, that, you know, we should be coy about money because someone else is trying to get in our pocketbook. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create a space where women could speak candidly about, and people also assume that if you've made it to a certain point in your career that you know everything. And that's not necessarily true because you might be like a really good writer and have no idea about the business side, the professionalization of writing. And so I was like, what if we could like have a place where women of color could speak and ask questions about craft and about contracts and about the best agents and all of these different things, where no one was judging us. And again, it could be a candid conversation. That's how the idea for the retreat came. And so we hosted the first one in Taos. We invite our masterclass teachers to talk to us via Skype for an hour. Can't afford to fly everyone into Taos just yet. But we also have a writer in residence. So we were really, really lucky to have Angela Flournoy and Angel Nafis with us last, is it last year? God, October was last year. last year. And so we're going to have another fabulous writer in residence this year for 2018. Another awesome lineup of women who are ready to talk about the business side of writing. Because sometimes it just infuriates me to see, you know, some of the contracts that debut writers are offered, you know, 2 book deals, $30,000 or, you know,
right.
Or people don't even know that, like, you don't actually get one check for $30,000, right? That these things are broken up. They're installments. People sometimes just don't know. Writers just don't know. No matter how much research you're doing, you know, so I want people to be able to talk about their coin and securing the bag,
yeah.
You know, because it's important, especially since a lot of publishing houses don't have the marketing and publicity backing anymore for writers, and you're really doing so much hustling on your own, you should know how much a publicist costs. You should know if you decide not to take all of our advice and put together a 12-city tour, even though I'm telling you no and everybody's telling you no, don't do this, but it's in your heart of hearts, you should really know how much that's going to cost you.
Yeah.
You know, or if someone asks you to do a lecture, how much you should charge. No one tells folks these things. Right. And people are just so happy. Writers are so happy to be asked sometimes, yeah. Right? You're just so happy and so thrilled that they really don't, again, back to that self-care, you're not taking care of yourself where someone invites you to do something. And the next thing you know, you're on a campus, you're doing two workshops, a lecture, dinner with the president of the college. And, you know, they've given you $1,000, but your travel and your hotel needs to come out of that.
That's right. It. That's it. Yeah. It's all gone.
So maybe you're going home with $120. Maybe.
Yeah.
And so I was just tired of seeing it.
That's and how long is the retreat?
2 weeks. And it's nice because we're on a campus. It's about 3 miles wide. And you just, you know, you're out. I don't hike. The women were hiking. I don't really like nature. I was born in New York City, like we talked about. I don't do nature, but it was great. We had Jenna Wortham there. We had Kat Chow there. Meredith Toulousen was there. Robin Beck. There's so many wonderful emerging and established women writers. Jessamyn Ward gave our final talk for the retreat. It was gorgeous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to find out more about the retreat, where would they go?
JackJonesLiteraryArts.com. And then I would click on the retreat.
Cool.
Yes.
Oh, this has been an awesome conversation.
Yeah. Yay.
I'm so
such a pleasure.
Yeah. I can't even believe we started with dry brushing, which I still need to could go on and learn more about that.
Yeah.
You have to get a dry brush. The next time I see you, I'm gonna present a wooden brush to you.
And yes. Let me technically ask, it's literally just the brush on dry skin, and then you shower.
Then I shower.
And then you moisturize?
And then I moisturize. Yeah.
Just in case we want to start doing that, which yeah, I feel
you
like
should.
It sounds great.
And you do it like over a towel or?
I get in the shower so that all the,
I see.
All of your skin debris can just go down
Smart.
The drain.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, Kima, thank you so much for taking time
amazing.
To come talk to us.
Yay,
if anyone wants to find you online, can you give us all the proper locations?
Of course. On Twitter, I'm Kima Jones. Actually, I think it's like Kima_Jones. Also, we're under Jack Jones Lit Arts, Instagram, Jack Jones Lit Arts, Facebook, Jack Jones Lit Arts, and then JackJonesLitArts.com.
Great.
Awesome.
Yes.
And we'll put that all in the show notes too.
Yay. Yay. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
I love Kima.
Are we both buying dry brushes?
Yeah.
Like immediately?
Yeah, I might buy two.
I would also love to know who else is dry brushing on
a
daily basis.
Yes, if you're dry brushing, holler at us.
Yeah, and give us tips because I want to start. It
totally.
Seems very meditative.
It does.
While also nourishing your body.
Yeah. I'm into it.
I'm into it as well.
So, Kate, last week your intention was to make easy meals that your whole family could eat. How did that go?
Well, I did it tonight.
Oh my God.
When I made the undercooked chicken.
And you haven't gotten any news that your whole family is dead.
Nobody's throwing up. So I think we're okay.
Okay, good.
Yes, it was even more than even just making the meals, like getting into a mindset of like, I'm going to scale back my expectations. And I think
Love
it's
that.
Going okay. You were aiming to be on time.
I was. I was mostly on time.
We hung out yesterday.
I was 1 minute late.
It was really great. I was really excited for
you. I mean, I was a little stressed out that you had gotten there early. It's like, oh, fuck.
Sorry, that was totally by accident.
Except, like, you're an early on-time person. So, you know what I mean? It's not by accident. It's never by accident.
Well, that's my anxiety manifesting.
I will almost never be 15 minutes early.
It's because you're making coffee before taking a shower.
I was actually pooping.
Oh.
You're like, I can't even respond.
I got it.
That's a great reason. I mean, that's really why I was late. I got a manicure. And then I was like, oh, I gotta go home. I walked home. And I was like, I think I have to poop. Oh, no. I'm going to be late.
And it's so worth it.
Pooping, I pooped. And then I was only a minute late and I got to poop.
There is nothing worse than holding in.
Oh, no.
A bowel movement.
No, I wasn't. And then just to be like, Kate, I have to go poop. I mean, no.
Save it for the pod. Say it here.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think that's a great excuse.
Thank you. And I was 4 minutes late to my doctor's appointment, my 8 a.m. doctor's appointment.
That's great.
But it turned out she was late, too, because there was construction on the 405.
Oh, you know.
So I was like, who cares?
Maybe she was pooping. Maybe she lied. She was really pooping.
She was pooping.
So this week, what are we working on? Okay.
Yes.
Mine. I'm working on my bedtime routine.
Oh, yeah?
I've talked about trying to get the phone out of the room.
That's, yeah.
I'm a successful part of the time. But now I'm really focused on, like, stopping the screen time, calming myself down, and it's going okay. So okay. I'm going to keep plugging away at that, and I will have a report. And I've started some new products, so I'll have a report.
Ooh,
on my sleep products.
Okay, that sounds great.
Great.
I am going to try to connect with some friends, some long-distance friends.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Like, reconnect, or are they new friends?
They're not new friends. Okay. They're old friends. But, you know, it's like hard to make time to talk on the phone or whatever. But my oldest best friend, Allison, reached out. She texted me, was it this morning? Yesterday morning? And was just like, hey, I've been thinking about you. And I was like, oh, Allie. Mm. And so we're going to talk. I think we'll probably talk later this week. But, you know, like, she's so sweet. She just, like, checks in.
Yeah.
And I want to just like check in with people.
Make time for people who are important to you.
Yeah.
I've started reusing the phone. Like, I've stopped texting and just calling, and it's really positive every time.
Love it.
And every time the other person's like, yeah, I was so sick of texting. Like,
totally.
Texting is miserable.
Kate, always call me.
I think I've started to a little bit.
I called you once and...
Was I shocked? Did I act surprised?
Yeah, you were like, is everything okay?
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, listen, it was great to see you as always.
It was great to see you. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. And, you know, again, join the Facebook group. Follow us on Instagram at Forever35Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod. Send us an email, Forever35Podcast@gmail.com. And again, you can find everything we talk about.
Literally everything.
Literally everything on the website, Forever35Podcast.com. And
if we miss something, hit us up on the Jeems.
Yeah.
That's what I call Gmail.
I was like, Jeems? Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gmail. You know that app, Jeems?
Sure.
Hit us up and we'll do our best to try to answer any questions we might have missed.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dori Shafrir, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
And definitely tune into our episode next week, where we interview Mary Holland, actress, writer, improviser, all about her cozy sleep habits.
And we talk about our sleep habits, too.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forever35.com, a podcast about the things we...
Wait, no. We're not Forever35.com.
Wow, what did I think I was doing?
Sammy, you can put that in the blooper reel.